all one word.
Need a break? Relax. Grab a coffee and join the conversation with Mariska on Two Sugars.
Great to have your company again this Wednesday afternoon. Hey, it's time to take 25. Sit back, relax, and join the conversation. You're with Mariska and Irene, listening to Two Sugars on 104.6 Planet FM.
Made a wrong turn once or twice. Dug my way out, blood and fire. Bad decisions, that's alright. Welcome to my silly life. Mistreated, this place misunderstood. Miss knowing it's all good. It didn't slow me down. Mistaken, always second guessing. Underestimated, look, I'm still around. You're so mean,
so mean
when you talk,
when you talk
about yourself. You were wrong.
Change the voices
in your head, make them like you.
So I swallow the fear. The only thing I should be drinking is an ice cold beer. So cool in line, and we try, 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 but we try too hard. And it's a waste of my time. Done looking for the critics, cause they're everywhere. They don't like my jeans, they don't get my hair. Exchange ourselves, and we do it all the time. Why do we do that? Why do I do that? Why do I do that? Yeah!
Have a bit of a grumble this week, actually, Irene.
It's not like you.
I know, but do you know something really got up my goat? It was a couple of weeks ago, and it was in the Herald, and it was a headline: "A single view shaft of Mount Eden is costing Auckland $1.4 billion," says PwC. And so I thought, okay, I'm going to open this article, and it made me think: well, progress versus greed. Now, for those of you who don't know, a view shaft is when you're driving along or walking along, whatever, and you see this magnificent view. Now, I've seen a few of them. Well, one of the cities I lived in, for example, there was huge protest when they were about to put this building in front of this view that you came up. And I tell you, when I did live in that particular city, every time I used to drive home from work and you'd come around and you'd see that view, and it was a magnificent view of the water. It really lifted your spirits. Now, whether you were in a good mood or a bad mood, it didn't matter. It lifted your spirits. And so these view shafts, there's quite a few. They'll be all the way around New Zealand in particular ways. And it'll be where you're driving somewhere and suddenly it opens into, so you've got this magnificent view. I'm also thinking actually when you drive from Dunedin to Oamaru, as I pop down and see Cara every so often, as you come over the hill, you get this magnificent view again of the sea, and every time it just lifts your spirits. And I'm thinking to this PwC person, PricewaterhouseCooper, who cares? Oh, I suppose they do. But
so hang on a minute, because this is something totally new to me. So these view shafts, I understand what you're talking about, because, you know, like I can tell you about a whole pile this weekend. I went out driving around. And absolutely beautiful, beautiful New Zealand is displayed wonderfully. So are these view shafts something that just happen, or are they actually planned by council?
Generally, they're planned.
They are planned, yep, by council. How amazing is that? And so now they're looking at buildings in places where these view shafts have been planned.
Well, that's what they're saying, and we're losing out on all of this. You know.
Yeah.
And, you know, the view shaft of Mount Eden, again, depending on where you come from, yeah, it's just awesome. And you think, I struggle with this too when people say, oh, let's go and put a whole lot of high-rises on the beachfront.
Hmm.
I think that's not progress, I'm afraid. That's just,
no, that's,
to me,
that's just total greed, and that's councils putting their hands out for money from these big organisations that want to do this. They've got rules and regulations. They've made a plan, a view shaft, which is something I didn't know about. And then they're turning around and saying, oh, no, well, Price and Waterhouse want to have this lovely view over the water, so we're going to put this in. No, I totally agree. It's greed, and I think greed is a big taking over of our society evil at the moment, and we all need to stand up about it and do something about it. They've got a huge thing going on in Spain at the moment on the Costa Brava, and there's all these beautiful, beautiful little bays and villages going up the Costa Brava. And in Agua Brava, it's a tiny little beach community resort, and it's very old and traditional, and it's just absolutely stunningly beautiful. And it winds down from a hill down to the beach, and they are wanting to put a great big huge, mega huge hotel running right across the front of this. It's just, I mean, if you could see the drawings, even the people who have lived there for hundreds of years aren't going to be able to see the beach anymore. And it's going to be so ugly. Sailing down the Costa Brava is just beautiful. And you don't see any of these big, massive hotels and sky rises. And they're trying to do the same thing there. So there's a massive, massive protest going on in Spain. So we've got it everywhere. And it's greed. It's total, complete. And we'll have a Trump Tower eventually.
Yeah, that's true. You know, I remember, gosh, years ago going to the Gold Coast, and it was just, you know, just high-rise after high-rise. You think, how's that, you know, life and relaxing and, you know, where you just, it just spoiled. And, you know, and often people will argue with me, but Mariska, it's progress. And I thought, well, hang on a moment. What's progress? What is progress? Because, you know, you do have to think of the whole lifestyle, not just buildings that have to house people. You know, you want happy people, and without realizing it's a big part. You know, the parks that we have, the gardens, they're all there for a reason. And
progress needs to be a plus in my mind, not a dollar sign, you know.
Yeah,
as soon as it becomes a dollar sign, it's, to me, it's not progress, it's just greed and money. So how do we stop it? I mean, what do we do?
Well, I think people just have to be a little bit more aware that, well, how do we stop it? That's a good point. can we? And I suppose it's as people standing up, you know, like they did years ago in this little town I was just talking about earlier. They stood up and said no. And there was enough of us that stood up and said no, and that they listened. Mm. And so I suppose it is about having the councillors in there that will listen. But it also means that we have to continuously say, hey, come on, guys, really?
And we have to say no. And we have to educate, because I didn't know anything about view shafts. So if they're in a planning process on the Auckland Council, we need to know where all those view shafts are, so that when they are being threatened, we know about it beforehand, before the building's gone up, before the agreement has been made, you know?
Oh, yeah, I think so. And I look, for our listeners out there, as you're driving around today, maybe just look up every so often. It's probably something you drive down the same road every day, and it's always there in your mind, well, that's nice, but you've never really looked at it, because I bet you you'll be driving past some type of view at some time through Auckland. And why would we want to, you know, take off all those views of our lovely harbour and our lovely parks and everything else? It's just, oh, yeah. Hey, but talking about progress, you know, is this progress? What's not progress? Recently, when I was in China, we visited this lovely little tea house. And so I decided last week, or was just at the beginning of the month, actually, to order some tea from here, because it's not stuff that you can get here. And so I wrote to her and I said, are we able to buy some tea? And she said, yes. And, you know, back and forth. And then she'd, you know, got my order all ready. And then she wrote back to me and she said, oh, Mariska, I'm not going to be able to send this for another week, because it's the Chinese National Day, which means that the post office is closed for 7 days while they celebrate their National Day.
Isn't that amazing? A country as big as that and they close totally? It's awesome.
No wonder people want to work for the government companies there, because I can imagine the rest of them are kind of, you know, very having to be very, very competitive to actually stay alive or to survive. But I just thought that was most wonderful. And it did make me giggle, because you also think here in New Zealand, and again, progress or greed, when we have the Easter holidays, when we have Waitangi Day, and all the shops want to open, and I'm thinking, just have a day
just
off.
Hey, well, I've got a progress story. I was driving over, I went over the coast to Maraetai
on the weekend.
It's just absolutely beautiful. But I'm driving along the road and slam on the brakes when I go through this past this paddock, and there are these animals in this paddock that I never expected to see in New Zealand. I have always assumed that buffalo milk and buffalo cheese, etc., we import the buffalo milk, but we don't. We have farms that have these massive, great buffaloes prancing around on them. It was the funniest thing I've ever seen in my life.
Yeah, no, that you're right. There is a farm out there, and I actually read about the couple that decided to bring the buffalo in, and yeah.
There's hundreds of them.
Yeah.
These great big brutes, there's hundreds of them. I'd love to see somebody milking them. They've got these massive big horns. It was the funniest thing I've ever seen. So I had to snap a few photos off about those as well.
I'm sure they would probably actually be happy if you popped in and say, hey, tell me some more. Mm. Because they had a huge journey getting them in. And the only, I can't remember whether they were on Country Calendar or whether they were in the Lifestyle Block magazine, I get. One or the other. There was a story about them. We'll find that, actually, and we'll pop that up on Facebook.
Yeah,
yeah,
that would be great, because I can imagine trying to get buffaloes in past our, you know, immigration and I mean, that would be huge, absolutely huge. They probably had to be in the vet's office for a week or more. Can you imagine?
Oh, they would have been in quarantine for a while, wouldn't have they? Yeah, absolutely.
Where would you quarantine a buffalo? I mean, are you going to keep them on the wharf? What are you going to do with them?
Oh, no, there's a big quarantine farm out not too far out from the airport, actually, where they do keep all of the animals that come into New Zealand.
All together?
Yeah, and it's very huge security. Each of them are kept in their own separate cages and rooms. Yeah, absolutely.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, it's a big thing. Well, I suppose when you think of us as a little island, you know, once one thing gets in, we're stuffed.
I'm on this massive learning curve today, aren't I? All these things I've never heard of before.
But interesting, with you being a chef, and I don't know whether you know the answer to this question, how different is buffalo milk to cow's milk?
Huge. Flavour-wise, it's absolutely huge. It's like having, lamb versus venison or, the flavour is very, very different.
And the
texture of it, how it behaves, how it reacts is totally different as well. What will curdle cow's milk doesn't necessarily curdle buffalo's milk.
Interesting. Yeah. I wonder if it's got the same types of, as in properties-wise, whether, you know, where some people can't actually drink cow's milk. Is it because of the lactose?
It is. They're totally got totally different makeup. Don't ask me what it is. They can have a clue. But that's why they can drink buffalo milk and not the cow's milk, because there's a whole variety of different things in one and not in the other. Yeah.
Buffalo cheese? Mm. Never tasted it?
Oh, it's beautiful. Yeah. Mm. Buffalo feta cheese is really lovely. Yeah.
I bet you we don't see it in our supermarkets, though. There might not be enough buffalo farms yet for us to actually have that.
You can buy buffalo cheese here, but it's very expensive. I'm just trying to remember where I did buy it and how I got to taste it. I think I bought it out at the Dairy Flats. You would probably see it at the Dairy Flats markets that they have out there, where they have all those cheeses and home products.
It might be the Coatesville market.
Yes, the Coatesville market.
Yeah, yeah. You can probably also buy it at Maraetai at the markets there, or come up a little bit into the Clevedon Village markets, because that's probably where they actually sell it. Yeah.
We actually got, I imagine that's where the farm is, so I would think that they would. We actually got there too late. We didn't get over there until about 12 o'clock and see all the markets were closing, unfortunately. My girlfriend's not one for getting out of bed early on a Sunday morning. But I tell you what, another thing that really struck me, I mean, a couple of weekends ago we were down in Waihee Beach, and we went to just about every cafe. And
you had that black, but we didn't find out where that black bun came from.
No, we didn't. I forgot all about it.
Yeah.
Yeah. That was another thing we were going to check up on, wasn't it? And we never got round to. Oh, well. But, you know, on the weekend we were down at Waihee Beach, we went to so many of the little cafes and places. The standard of the food was excellent. I'm a chef. I'm critical. I didn't criticise it. I mean, value for money, some were more expensive than others, but they deserved to be, and so on and so forth. And loads of little cafes. And then you go to Maraetai, and it's a much, much smaller community, and there were only 4 cafes there, I think it was. But I was amazed at the difference in the standard between
the
two places.
Isn't that interesting?
Absolutely. Absolutely. I'd go to Maraetai for the food and the coffee, but we'll forget about the food. And we actually did wander around quite a few. I expected the seafood to be reasonably fresh, because it's easy enough for them to get it there. The Coromandel's so close, and you know. But no.
Yeah, it is a bit of a shame. Maraetai's been stuck out for quite a while, though. I mean, coming through Clevedon, although a lot of people used to go to, and I say this because I used to live out that way, go out for the beach and picnics and stuff, and it was still quite country village. But there's been huge development out there, so I'm surprised there's not more the cafes.
That's what I'm saying. If it was still a tiny wee community, I can understand the difference. But there were very, very glamorous houses stretching for miles and miles and miles and miles all around the coast part. It was chock-a-block full of traffic and people in the cafes. All the cafes were full. But that's as good as you're going to get. And I mean, it wasn't that it was intentionally bad or anything. It was just, you could tell the people that owned these places had no experience. And it was just that sort of thing, wasn't anything. Lack of training and lack of experience and nothing else.
And I suppose you can get away with that at a beach, any beach kind of place, because that's all you've got. People go out there for the beach. Mm. And so you will frequent those particular cafes to go and grab a coffee, even if it's not that great a coffee. coffee or whatever it is. Yeah.
I think they'd probably change hands quite quickly as well, which means that you're never getting a really established. Whereas Waihee Beach, like I said, was that's right. We were talking about that, and I really should have gone and checked out your friend's cafe, and I might have done. What was the name of her cafe?
No, it was the pub you went to, wasn't it? That had there's a Kim and John. So
it was a Kim Holiday Park. Yes, that's right.
Yes, yeah. Exactly. Their manager's down there, and so the pub was the pub you went to, wasn't it?
We went to the pub on the Friday night, which had the black buns.
Yeah, so we got to find out.
But then we went for breakfast
Saturday
morning, and another place for breakfast Sunday morning, and we went for lunch on Saturday. Another pub. We didn't cook a thing. Every single meal was eating out. It was fabulous.
Isn't that just awesome? Actually, talking about Maraita, if you go a bit further down the road, Kaiawa, it's been like the best fish and chip shop. That goes off and on as well, because sometimes we take the motorbike out there, and you know, as this weather comes, it's a great, great time for getting the motorbike out. But yeah, we've been there a few times.
Yeah,
now,
I like that. Well, I've been down there doing a lot of wedding catering and that sort of thing. It's a beautiful place for people to hire a big house and have a small little ceremony, and they've got this big house, and that's their wedding for the weekend, and they have me go in and do all the food for them. So I've been to Kauai. I never knew how to say it.
Kaiawa,
several times, and loved the fish and chips there. But you just said the magic words. When we were sitting in the restaurant in Maraetai, it was such a joy to hear the grunt of all the Harleys again. All the boys are getting out on their bikes with their partners because it's so beautiful, and the rides around those coasts in New Zealand are so
fantastic.
Lovely. Yeah. And it was just so good to hear that. It's as good as hearing all the tuis in the trees, and it was great.
It's a great time of the year, isn't it, when that sun comes out. It's still got that little nip in the air, which just keeps you, you know, energised. But it's just such a wonderful time of the year just to get out and do some stuff, as you say, pop down, you know, a little bit further out of town, go along one of the bays, or, you know, just listen to the birds in the trees, you know, especially as you go out to some of our regional parks, which are awesome around New Zealand, wherever you go, great regional parks. We're extremely lucky.
We are.
Yeah.
Very lucky. I don't think we realise it, just how lucky we are sometimes, but yeah.
Yeah, I think we have to be reminded every so often, don't we? Yeah. So is it that progress or greed? So we've got to keep that progress so that it's good for people, so that we don't lose a lot of these things that we have.
I had a question. I don't know whether we've got time to deal with it today or not. We might have to leave it till next week. But I'm curious to know why power prices go up when everything stays the same when it comes to producing the power.
Ooh, that's an interesting one. It's a hot topic too, isn't it? Oh, I think we'll keep that one for next week, and we'll find out a little bit about these power companies and how they actually work to why things go up and down. I mean, you're right, because I've just seen an ad on telly. I don't know, if you swap to that power company, you get an appliance with it. I mean, they're fighting for us, fighting to get our custom, but are they really ripping us off? Let's leave that till next week. We'll see you then.